Imagine there's no country. Imagine it's not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on our continued series. Actually, it's just the second time we're doing it, but we hope to do it at least once a week, where we take a look at songs that are popular and to examine them from a theological point of view, particularly a law gospel point of view. You are listening, therefore, to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, July the 23rd, on AM 850 KFUO Inspirational Christian Radio. Last week, we looked at what Whitney Houston had to sing about. This week, we're looking at what John Lennon has to sing about. And I know what some of you are saying or thinking. John Lennon, he died in 1990. Why are we still listening to his items? Well, you can hear a lot of popular songs by going to YouTube. And what they do is you type in the name of the song, and if they have it playing, it'll come up. But what's so interesting, it tells you how many listeners listen to that song through that YouTube email address or whatever the address, website, within the last few months. And Imagine is one of the most requested songs even today. Now, when you get a really requested song, then you really need to look at it to see why are so many people infatuated with this song. I have to admit, I think I've got every Beatles album there was. I really enjoyed listening to the Beatles. And as I indicated, John Lennon, I think I said he died in 1990. I'm being corrected. It's 1980. Boy, time has gone by fast. That was 28 years ago.
He died December 8th, 1980. Of course, he was shot in New York City. So there you go.
Thank you.
I'm correcting you.
Well, it's even an older song because obviously he had sung it before he died. But it still resonates with so many people. And I'll tell you why, from a law gospel perspective. How can a song have a law gospel perspective? I can understand how the Bible has a law gospel perspective, but not a song. Well, Christianity is based on the principle that we have something to offer the entire world that they are really yearning for, but are sometimes unaware of it. You understand what I'm saying? That the Christian message is one that fills the bill. It fills the needs people have. Sometimes they're unaware of those needs. For example, all of us, well, we don't really want to be lonely. There's very few people who enjoy just not having any people around at all, ever. Most of us enjoy people for both sinful and sinless reasons. Sinless reasons we enjoy because we can share love, we can share our possessions, we can take care of people. As God says, the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is just like the first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. But by and large, most of our relationships with other people are for sinful reasons. We like to look good in other people's eyes. We therefore will put the best foot forward. And there's many ways in which we act in order to make us look good. And in fact, advertising knows this very well. If there's anyone who studies the human psyche to figure out what they should be doing, it is marketers. It is advertisers. Now, some of the advertising has absolutely nothing to do with the elements of the product. For example, how many times have you seen a new car surrounded by young women? So if you get this new car, you're going to get all these young women if you're a man. Or there are many ways in which advertising tries to give you good thoughts, and therefore that's related to the product. In fact, it's become so bad that in some advertising that's really quite comical, I'll wait till it's over and then I'll ask people who are in the room, by the way, what were they advertising? And it is quite surprising to see how many times people don't know it. The law of God is written in our hearts. And therefore, there is a yearning in the hearts of all people from birth that there is a God and we want a relationship with Him. Now, through your growing up, you may experience certain things that you don't want to have anything to do with this God. And so you call yourself an atheist or at least an agnostic. But that has been a considered decision that you made in light of the fact that if there is a God, He is allowing so many things to go on that you don't like, that you don't think He is worthy of your praise. And so you don't praise Him. You don't honor Him. You pretend He doesn't exist. But you can pretend all you want. That doesn't mean He's gone. He still exists. John Lennon's Imagine is really quite interesting because it has been roundly criticized by many individuals because of the words that is found within them. But if you stop and think about it, much of what it is looking for is only fulfilled in the Christian message. Only fulfilled in the Christian message. Now, some people have a negative attitude toward the Beatles, and particularly John Lennon. One of our listeners sent me some emails about John Lennon's interview, for example. You'll recall when the Beatles said that they were bigger than Jesus. And there's all kinds of jokes that have been made about that. He really wasn't misquoted, but in an interview, we find that he really didn't mean what individuals thought he had meant. Well, when they say that we're bigger than Jesus, he wasn't referring, at least this is what he says, he wasn't referring that they're bigger individuals and more important than Jesus. Here's what, in fact, an interview which with he had, here's what he said. He claimed he was misunderstood when he said in 1966 that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. The interview was conducted in Montreal in 69 when Lennon, who was raised an Anglican, was at a peace protest. What he said is just an expression I use, meaning the Beatles seem to me to have more influence over youth than Christ. And of course, knowing the youth that were surrounding the Beatles, I could understand why he would make that suggestion. Take a look at the Ed Sullivan Show when the Beatles appeared there. I remember being at Concordia College Ann Arbor and watching them on television, and there was a large number of students, and all those girls on the television jumping up, screaming, and fainting. Do you think they would have done that had Jesus walked into the room? I kind of doubt it. And it was probably from that point of view that Lennon said that, well, the Beatles are bigger than Jesus. And that probably is correct for a lot of people, that the Beatles were having more influence over youth. Now, listen what he says. I wasn't saying that was a good idea, that we have more influence, because I'm one of Christ's biggest fans. And if I can turn the focus of the Beatles onto Christ's message, then that's what we're here to do. I've often dreamt of having a job. I don't know who would hire me. I don't know if our denomination would or a church would. But my task would be to go and simply visit well-known celebrities like John Lennon and explain to him what Christianity truly does teach. And of course, you hear that all the time on AM 850 KFUO. It's not something that is well-known at all. In fact, what Christianity teaches is almost the opposite of what most people think. And knowing John Lennon and listening to his songs, I'm sure that he wishes Christianity was actually like the song Imagine that he wrote. In fact, how would you like to hear John himself talking these remarks? I really got a good producer here in Gary, because guess what? We're about ready to hear it. John.
This girl who I was pretty close to was a reporter from the London Evening Standard. In fact, we were very close. And she came, and I was just in one of my... I was just not in a good mood. Now, I wasn't making a big statement. I was not in a good mood. And there'd been a record out or something, and maybe it wasn't going so well. They'd been knocking us in the press, you know. They're always either loving us or hating us. There was never anything in between. Same as they do with Dylan or any of us now. And she came, and she was intimating that we were slipping. And I was in a bad mood. I said, slipping? We're bigger than Jesus. Just... no thought whatsoever like that. When you print it, it looks like it's a statement. In England, nobody took any notice. You know, they know. This guy's blabbing off. You know, who is he? Got over here, you know, some lunatic gets his...
So, that's John Lennon's voice himself as he's trying to explain how that statement or that phrase that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus came about. I have other quotes that he says, if the Beatles get on the side of Christ, which they always were, and let people know that, then maybe the churches won't be full, but there'll be a lot of Christians dancing in the dance halls. Now, John Lennon wouldn't be considered a traditional Anglican. For example, he said he did not really have a notion of a physical heaven, but he added that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Christ said that, and I believe that. Now, it's with this background, therefore, we want to examine Imagine, the song he sang. Well, we're going to hear the whole thing near the end of the program, but let me just read the portions to you, and then we'll look at it from a law gospel point of view. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Now, you really don't get too much out of that first verse, because there's so many ways you can take that, and it's only when you go to the next verses that the first verse really comes into better relief. But I think, to a great degree, what he's speaking out against is the idea that many people live their life either afraid of hell, and therefore they change their behavior, or so anxious to get to heaven that they do things not because they really care for anybody, but just so they can guarantee themselves getting to heaven. And he is saying, no, imagine there's no heaven and there's no hell. You're just living for today. That's actually a great Christian concept in regard to sanctification. We've said this, of course, he sings it, In a way, and I think what I'm about to say is a mirror of what he is saying, namely, when you do a good work for your neighbor, don't have an ulterior motive, such as trying to please God so that he'll bless you more. Because when you have such ulterior motives, your neighbor really isn't the focus of your attention. The focus of your attention is yourself. How many times have you heard people say, I just love to go and help the homeless, you know, at the food kitchen. I serve them meals. It makes me feel so good. You see, Jesus did something for us that didn't make him feel so good at all. He was crucified. That doesn't feel good. But he did it because of his great love for you. We're called also to do things which will cost us. It may cost us our reputation. It may even cost money. It may certainly cost the problems of having a right relationship with others. People can get angry over the silliest things. Why do you think that they don't talk much about politics or religion at dinner? Because it's not going to be a peaceful dinner a lot of times. I think the best way to read that first verse is John Lennon saying, imagine there's no heaven and no hell, but you're just living for today. That means you're not doing anything for an ulterior motive. You're doing it just because you're to do it. That's really what sanctification is all about. Sanctification is simply the response of being justified, made right with God. And I'm not saying all these thoughts are on John Lennon's head, but I think maybe growing up in the Anglican tradition, you do get some fear of hell preaching, and you certainly get some blessings of heaven preaching. And so if you're doing things in order to get to heaven, then Jesus doesn't mean that much to you. And if you're doing things so you don't go to hell, then you really think less of God, that you can actually manipulate God by your deeds. You can get God thinking differently of you because of what you do. Now, that's the best I can understand this. But going on with the next verse, imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do. Now, wouldn't you want countries? Well, because as he says in this very verse, what happens when there are countries is, guess what? People start struggling for land. Or they don't like their neighbor countries. So he says, imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for. Why do you think we're in Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany in World War I and II, Japan, France, Italy? Just think of all the wars that have gone on. Why are we there? Because countries just can't let other countries alone. It just seems like it just leads to war. In fact, Jesus says that you'll always have the poor with you, and you'll always have wars and rumors of war. Now, what John Lennon is saying, boy, imagine there's a place where there are no countries vying against one another. Well, there is a place, John. It's called the Kingdom of Heaven. And we don't have to wait till the afterlife to get there. Although, those in faith in Christ, that's where you're going. You actually can receive all the benefits right here on this earth. Because God doesn't make distinctions between the country, or shall we say, one nation or another nation. All come under the threats of the law, and all hear the wonderful good news of the gospel that offsets the threats. So you can imagine why he's imagining this, because it's really in the heart of every person that, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if there were no countries, assuming that the countries are what we are killing and dying for. But then he says, and no religion too. And no religion too? You see, when you first read that, you say, well, he must be against Christianity, because Christianity is a religion. But no, he doesn't think in that term. In fact, I had professors that would disagree with me that there are only two religions in the world, Christianity and everything else. They wouldn't consider Christianity to be a religion, because religions are kind of man-made, and they're a way of works trying to gain the approval of God, whereas Christianity is not man-made. It's spirit-driven, and there's no necessity to try and get the approval of God, because he's already approving of you. Maybe not of your works, but of you. What John Lennon is really looking to is a time of peace. In fact, that's what he says in the next verse. You may say that I'm a dreamer. Now, what do you think the next line would be? Something like, well, I don't care if you say it, I'm still going to dream. That's what I expected, but listen what he says. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. So close, yet so far. For being a dreamer is not sufficient. Just to dream about this doesn't put it into practice. In fact, you got to remember, this is a man who is quite wealthy, and when we get back from the break, I'll share with you some criticism that people gave to him because of the next verse that he sings. But at this point, the only point I want to make, the reason this song is so popular is, first of all, it's well sung. It's got a tremendous tune, but the words really resonate with that which is deep in the breast of every human being. Maybe not the way that he says it should come about. Namely, we don't want killing or dying, but is it only because the land is divided into countries and there are religions? You see, he's thinking of religion in the sense of what goes on, say, with the Irish and the British, the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, the Muslims and the Jews. You see religions at war. And this isn't God's country. So let's get rid of the countries, let's get rid of religion, and maybe we'll have peace. But what is so insightful is he recognizes he's not the only dreamer who wishes someday this could happen. In fact, most people that march in peace marches are somewhat idealistic, thinking that this could actually happen on Earth. We know, those of us who are involved with Holy Scripture, that time will never come while we're here on earth. Because of the sinful nature of man, there will never be an occasion here on earth where there's no killing or dying for, and everybody lives in peace. That just will not happen. So far better than to ignore the situation, but to make use of it for Christian purposes. To share with others that their dreams can come true, and in fact, God has made them to come true in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But I get a little ahead of myself. We've done three verses of the five of Imagine by John Lennon. If you would like to phone me after the break, you could actually do so right now during the break, and we can start lining you up. Numbers are 505-7850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. The purpose of this series is that you, if you're a parent, should be listening to what your kids are listening to. Examine the words. What is motivating them? What is influencing them? And we pray it will be more than Christ.
Sometimes on the Bible study program, the conversation turns to teaching and even preaching. That's what happened earlier today. I could only say, preach it, brother, as Pastor John Schmidtke dealt with chapters 18 through 20 of the book of Jeremiah. If you missed it, tune in for the Bible study repeat tonight at 6:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Here's a message from the Missouri Botanical Garden. Do you enjoy gardening? Do you have some experience with gardening and a desire to learn more? Consider volunteering as a St. Louis Master Gardener. Applications for the training program will be accepted through September 30th. The program is open to adults of all ages. Applications are due by Tuesday, September 30th. Candidates must be willing to contribute 50 or more volunteer hours per year, and there is an application fee. To learn more, go to stlmg.org. and click Become a Master Gardener.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Parents tend to repeat themselves because we're never quite sure if our kids are really listening. Meanwhile, our kids wonder why we never stop talking. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson.
They are watching you. They see what you do. They hear your words. You think that they don't because they're so young, and you think that they miss it, and they may not turn around and say, "That was very interesting, Mom. I want to try to remember that." In fact, they won't say that. But years later, it comes back to them, and that's why every day we're modeling for them.
We don't always see instant results from our parenting efforts, which can be frustrating at times. But remember, just because your children may not immediately follow your guidance, that doesn't mean they're not thinking about it. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, check out our website. You can find us at family.org. For Focus on the Family, I'm Dr. Bill Meyer.
All right, call it our attempt to simplify your life. Maybe it'll work for you, maybe it won't, but here's the deal. We're hoping that you can utilize this phone number to reach anyone at AM 850 KFUO. Yes, one number to remember, and we think it's pretty easy. 888-4-KFUO-AM. If you can remember our call letters, you're halfway there. It's 888-4-KFUO-AM.
On one of our recent Bible study programs, Pastor Richard Moore used an example to describe the faith of little children.
Children believe you when you talk to them. Do you know how many adults I can talk to and tell them anything, and they will be questioning? When I was a vicar, I went on with the pastor's family to like a World's a Fun place. And the youngest wanted to go on the roller coaster. And he was like a half an inch short to go on it. And I told him to stretch, and I would take him. So we sat in the first car. And we went straight up 4.5 stories. And as we were about to go over the top, he turned to me with abject terror in his face. And he said, "We're going to die." And I said to him, "No, we're not. You'll be fine." He let go of the bars, put his hands over his head, and went down. Because I said he'd be fine, he was fine. I thought we were going to die, but he was fine. Children believe you when you tell them something.
Our program is a children's program. Listen to the Bible study weekday mornings at 10:05.
Check out the largest cacti and succulent event in the Midwest. The Henry Shaw Cactus Society Show and Sale, August 9th through the 17th. View thousands of varieties of cacti and succulents at the Missouri Botanical Garden beginning Saturday, August 9th. The event is free with garden admission. Before they go on display, over 500 cacti and succulents will compete for top HSCS honors. The Missouri Botanical Garden. To find out more, visit mobot.org.
We're looking at the song Imagine There's No Heaven by John Lennon, a very popular song, and really touches the nerve of all people. How does it touch your nerve? Because have you not imagined that there could be peace and quiet, not only in the country, but in your house, in the whole world? And yes, you say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Now, what's happening here is John Lennon is taking a look at the things that he thinks causes division among us. And the first two was the idea that there's a heaven and that there's a hell, and what you do here on earth makes a difference as to whether you're going to one or the other. And he says, imagine there is no heaven and nor hell. You know, that's really good advice for the Christian. When you do a good work, you should do it imagining there's no heaven. Would you do it then? And if you wouldn't do it, then you're living under the law. You're only doing it for what you can get out of it. How different would you and I be if there really was no heaven or hell? I'm not sure. There are a lot of skeptics who don't believe in an afterlife, and they don't seem to be going around and robbing banks and being mass murderers or this sort of thing. They leave a half-decent life. I'm not sure why. As Paul says, if hope is only in this world, then we are of all men to be most miserable. But maybe they have an optimistic outlook on life. Who knows what defense mechanisms they conjure up in order to defend themselves against the idea that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if Christians use a heaven or a hell to motivate people to do good work so that they can go to heaven, that is as legalistic as you can get. God isn't interested in you doing a good work so you can go to heaven or so that you can please him. It's only from a radical law gospel point of view that John Lennon makes any sense. Because if you just take it superficially, as you're going to see, there was quite a bit of criticism of this song among Christians. But I think there was a lot of criticism because maybe I'm putting too much into it. Maybe he wasn't thinking the way I am, but I really do think that he believes that the teaching of heaven, the teaching of hell, the idea that there are countries and all kinds of religions has led to a lot of war, tyranny, brutality in this world. And historically, nobody would doubt him that. Remember, radical Muslims crashed into the Twin Towers, the Pentagon. Why? So that they could have a wonderful time in the heaven that they thought they were looking forward to. See, it's that kind of heaven that I think should be non-existent. I don't have to imagine there's no heaven of that sort. I know there's no heaven of that sort, the one that the Muslims were going for. Next verse is the one that caused quite a bit of controversy and criticism. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Isn't that interesting? Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. You see, we can now pinpoint six reasons why John Lennon thinks there's division in the world. There's a teaching about heaven and hell that leads to violence. There's a love for country and religions that lead to violence. There obviously is a desire for possessions leading to greed and hunger, which leads to violence. All that John Lennon is saying, from a theological point of view, and I'm not even sure he even realizes that, is all we have to do is get rid of sin in the world. That's where he's the dreamer, and a daydreamer at that, because it is impossible for you to get rid of your sin. That's why Christianity reveals a Savior who did all the work for you and leaves you free from the punishment of sin. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, our numbers being 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor.
Imagine that you would call.
Imagine. You know, if seeking heaven or escaping hell is not an essential part of Christian thought or makeup, then what the song Imagine is reflecting is a utopia-like existence for humankind. And when I say utopia, I mean a utopia where there's a unity of faith and no militant nationalism and a kind of perfect tension between protest and patriotism. I think all those elements are in the song. So my question to you, Pastor, is does Revelations chapter 22 describe a utopia-like place?
That's the new heavens and the new earth.
Yes.
I would say no.
Okay. And
I'll tell you why I'm going to say no, because you have to answer this question. Define utopia.
Utopia, I guess, when you talk about Thomas More's utopia, it's a perfect social system and political system.
Yes, and that's why I say no, because the social and political systems are inventions of man, and
mm-hmm.
the utopia of heaven, if you're going to call it that, is a spiritual utopia. It's not a political one. It's not a social one. It has those effects, but it isn't anything that man can do. In fact, a lot of the thinking during the time of the Enlightenment, prior to World War I or World War II, people were getting the impression, James, that, boy, man can really control his own destiny, and we can create a utopia here on Earth. So man replaced God as creator and thought he could take over the job. And that kind of utopia is not what is described in Revelation 22. The utopia described there is God's perfect kingdom, which you are part of right now, James, through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes. So then would you say the song Imagine reflects a utopia-like existence where there's this perfect tension between humanism and Christian thought?
Well, you know, until I read, I have 14 pages of notes on this song, believe it or not, James,
mm-hmm.
that I got from the Internet. And people actually mailed me things knowing that I was going to come on today. I didn't realize that John Lennon considered himself to be an Anglican. I thought they all the Beatles had kind of left Christianity. And although I would imagine his view of Christianity is more social, as you and I would talk about it, that there's no doubt that he's reflecting what is found many times in the Old Testament. Like, the Bible doesn't say, imagine a time when the lion could lie down with the lamb. It says there is a time coming when the lion lies down with the lamb, when there is milk and honey. In other words, as I looked at this, you could go through the song and change it into the biblical phrases, and you'd have the same thoughts.
Yes, but would you dilute the humanism to accentuate the biblical thought of it? I mean, the fact that he doesn't want any militant nationalism or a unity of the faith, you would say that that's a humanitarian dream, or would you say that's a Christian hope? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you, James. It's hard pressed for me to decide, just looking at the song, whether John Lennon thought that this would actually happen by the work of men here on earth. I think he was really imagining it, and that's where I can get into some of the notes that I have here. The song received intense criticism over the years. Many perceived the lyrics in a negative light, particularly how ironic or hypocritical such a rich man as Lennon is, and then he turns around and writes, imagine. For example, broadcaster Robert Elms said, Imagine was written by a multimillionaire with one temperature-controlled room in his Manhattan mansion just to store his fur coats. And Elvis Costello, another songwriter, commented satirically on the song The Other Side of Summer. He asked the question, was it a millionaire who said, imagine no possessions? In fact, in an interview with a very popular magazine, Lennon was criticized on a similar note for his wealth, and he defended himself by pointing out how difficult it is to leave a materialist world behind once you are caught up in it. He kind of compared it to leaving the Beatles. The writer of the magazine said, why does anyone need $150 million? Couldn't you be perfectly content with $100 million? Or even 1 million? And here was Lennon's response, printed in the magazine. What would you suggest I do? Give everything away and walk the streets? The Buddhist says get rid of the possessions of the mind. Walking away from all my money would not accomplish that. It's like the Beatles. I couldn't walk away from the Beatles. That's one possession that's still tagging along, right? If I walk away from one house or 400 houses, I'm not gonna escape it. There are those who were critical of the anti-religious stance that they felt was there. Some artists, when they sing it, have even changed the line, and no religion, into, and one religion too, in their cover versions. Now, people really criticize that because they say you got to respect Lennon's vision. I think what we can see here is we can re-understand Lennon's vision in Christian terms. That if, just turn on most evangelical radio and television these days and listen to the thing that Lennon is criticizing. For example, the Word Faith movement has the idea that if you have enough faith, you can accomplish anything. So you can say to God, I need an expensive car, and if you have enough faith, you're going to get it. See, that's using God for selfish reasons. And I'm perfectly content to see Lennon criticizing that. I don't think we should use heaven or hell as a way of getting people either to believe in Jesus Christ or to do good works, because that's manipulation. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use punishment. But just realize that's not a spiritual discipline. That's in the political realm. If my child is misbehaving, I say, if you don't sit down right now, you're going to go to bed without any television. And now he sits down. Does he do so because he freely wills? No, because he wants to see television at night. So he sits down out of a selfish reason. And sometimes to bridle the disobedient, you have to use those kinds of threats and then carry through on them. But in the spiritual realm, there is no threat. There is no need for manipulation. Because God is God of all. And from that point of view, we don't need to be worried about that. In 1999, by the way, Imagine was considered one of the top 100 most performed songs of the 20th century. In fact, his original recording of Imagine appears 23rd in the list of best-selling singles in the United Kingdom issued in 2002. And in November 2004, the Rolling Stones list of the 500 greatest songs, it was ranked number 3. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation named Imagine the greatest song in the past 100 years. And that was voted on by their listeners on a show called 50 Tracks. Why is this song so enticing? Because it really does give what people have in their heart. It gives words to them. And what we need to do is take this song and say, you know, it's something like we did on our, some of you know that we've got a sign now, a billboard out on Highway 70 near the airport. And it's a digital billboard, so we can change it every day. And we had up there, we're selling one of Pastor Peter Kurowski's books, The Everlasting Angel and the Mountains of Fire. And we had up there for a while, "Would you like to know this angel?" Well, he phoned me up Sunday, I believe it was. He said, "Here's what we should change it to. Better than Batman. Better than Batman." And so we did. And in fact, when we phoned them up, they said, "Hey, that sounds pretty good." And so they sent us the proofs, and it should be up there right now. So instead of seeing the everlasting angel, that refers to Jesus Christ, of course, in the Old Testament. He's the angel of the Lord. We have better than Batman, because Jesus is far better than Batman. So we hope to change the sign. But you see, we're taking a look at the culture. What's everybody talking about these days? Well, the movie that brought in more money in one weekend than any other movie in the history. And so now we're designating our sign in such a way, trying to entice people to buy the book, The Everlasting Angel, to hear more about the angel of the Lord. And in fact, just about an hour ago, I left the post office after dropping off almost 6,000 letters to congregations encouraging them to purchase the Bible study called The Angel of Angels that goes along with the book. And by the way, that's all up on lawgospel.com if you're at all interested. Lawgospel.com. Let's go back to the phone lines at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing? This is a very interesting subject, the song Imagine.
By the way, were you the Brian that sent me the items?
Yeah, I thought they would be interesting.
Yes, I've got them in front of me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it just, I've read a fair amount about John Lennon because I used to love the Beatles music, so I read all these books about him. Written by people who knew him, and it's interesting. His thing about Imagine is his big thing he was always going on about was peace. And I think the reason for that, if you read about his biography, is he had a very disruptive childhood.
Yeah, family, yes.
And adolescence. And I think the problem is, in terms of religion, he had a big thing against the idea of religion because he saw it as being a patriarchal, and his father deserted him when he was very young. And I think he kind of harbored that. So he was against anything that was kind of, he saw as institutional or establishment.
Yes, because of his experience with it. And I think I was making that point that, can you imagine being in Ireland or Great Britain during the fights between the Irish or the Palestinians and the Jews, the Muslims and the Jews? When you grow up under that, religion isn't, you say something like, well, you should try Christianity, it's a different religion. People just kind of wince when they hear the word religion when they've had that kind of experience.
Right. So, I mean, the thing is, he had this problem with a father figure in his life, and he always was kind of missing that. The other thing is this idea of peace issues developed because he's actually had a very violent temper. And he actually quoted in an interview saying that I think the people who are on about peace all the time, like myself, are people who are extremely violent. I think those are the people who see the greatest need for it. So a lot of this is very personal to him, and I think his experiences growing up. I don't think it's so much in terms of historically about Christianity, because I don't think he really understood a lot of that. I think it had more of a, like I say, his background.
Did you know that he and Yoko, on April 1st, 1973, conceptualized a country which they called Newtopia, N-U-T-O-P-I-A?
Right. That's on the back of his Mind Games album, too. He calls himself the president of Newtopia. So he did believe in a utopia.
Yes.
Or he did. He didn't believe in it, but he was promoting it all the time.
Did he? I don't see anything in anything I've read that he ever thought it could really take place, though, here on Earth.
No, his vehicle for expressing himself most of the time was his sense of humor.
Yes.
And that's the reason why a lot of people like it. But, I mean, I think that if someone wrote the song Imagine and it wasn't John Lennon singing it, I don't think it would have had the mileage that it has. It's just it's a combination of his voice and the musicianship and all those things together instead of just a song by itself.
Well, who else could have written I Want to Hold Your Hand? That would have become number one. I mean, those, I was just infatuated with the Beatles for two reasons. Number one, they were one of the few groups I could understand the words.
Yeah.
I mean, the rappers today, I have no idea what they're singing half the time. But the other thing that they have, they really were able to get into the psyche of many of the people of that day, even with I Want to Hold Your Hand or many of the other songs that they did. They were just geniuses at being able to understand what people were thinking.
Well, you know, it's the Beatles were one of the first groups that actually wrote their own songs. Most of the groups in that period were singing songs that were written by other people. Elvis Presley sang a lot of things written by, he didn't do much writing himself.
Hmm.
And so it's that was the beginning of the singer-songwriter tradition that kind of developed in the 70s and all that.
Yes. I can't think of her name, but she finally put out her own album after she'd been writing so many songs for others. And it was just so...
Carole King?
I think that was it. Yes. Yeah, yeah. In fact, it was, yes. And, boy, that number one album that she has, I still have it. And although you go to...
Tin Pan Alley, yeah.
eBay, and guess what? You get maybe $2 for it. Okay, well, look, thank you so much.
Okay.
What we want to do is leave a little time, and I think we just have enough time now. We'll continue a little bit when we get back from the break, if Diane wants to stay on and others. But let's listen now to John Lennon's song.
No hell below us.
When we get back from the break, we'll talk about how we're the dreamers John Lennon is looking for. Christianity has the message the world is one in Christ. There's no countries. There's no religion. But we're not just dreamers. We're realists because we believe the promises of God. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And we'll be back in a few minutes after the news. And, Diane, you want to stay on? We'll be glad to talk to you or anybody else. Numbers here are 505-7850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about this country of peace that John Lennon and Yoko Ono developed called Newtopia. And we'll show you, whether they knew it or not, it's Christianity.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.